In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I will read some verses from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, from verse 39. Now, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told here from the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. I think the topic now concerning the joy as a gift of the Holy Trinity to the believer. Yesterday, a person asked me a question, are you joyful continually, or you sometimes feel that you are in grief? And then he said to me, even David the king, sometimes we hear that he is in grief, and also St. Paul, and many of the men of the Old Testament and New Testament, sometimes, although they are men of joy, but they sometimes suffer of grief. I hope truly that all believers attain this gift as a gift from the Holy Spirit. When I hear that I speak concerning the joy as a gift from the Holy Trinity, I look to the personality of Saint John the Baptist. When we read with Saint John the Baptist, sometimes we imagine him as a very serious person, and I think even when he depicts it, his icon sometimes make him as if he is very fierce and not cheerful. The same thing concerning St. Paul. For me, I feel it is not the correct character of St. John the Baptist, nor of St. Paul. The two in fact are very, very cheerful men. And you can discover that from St. John, before he was born, we heard twice that the baby, leaped in my womb for joy. And the word leap in Hebrew means dancing. He made a party in the womb of his mother, a unique party. He could truly create the atmosphere of joy even within the womb of his mother, before he was born. And St. Paul, when you read chapter 16 from the book of Rome, you will discover how St. Paul, in fact, was full of emotions. You feel he is lover of every person. He knows everyone by his name. He speaks with them in a very lovely way. And even in many events, We discovered her temple was very cheerful. When he was in the inner jail in Philippi, or when he wrote the book or the epistle to the Philippians and asked them to rejoice in the Lord always, unceasingly. It is not through the power or the authority of nature of man that we live joyful unceasingly. Impossible, according to our own nature or our own plan. Nobody can say, I can live joyfully all my life. We have to distinguish between two things. Joy, as I heard when I came here, that you know two kinds of joy. The joy of the world and the joy of heaven. I want to say not only the joy of the world and the joy of heaven, we have to distinguish between two things. The joy from outside, the joy inside. If you look to the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, what is said about him, or what he said about himself, he was in grief. And it is said even he desired to die, and he asked if he can pass over this moment of suffering, but at the same time he asked God the Father, it is may his will be done. But he as a man, because he is the incarnate God, if he can bear this moment, because it was too hard to carry all sins of the world, of all mankind on himself as the divine sacrifice of the victim on behalf of all mankind, from Adam till the end of age. Now I want to look to Saint John. He was a baby. He, all the circumstances cannot encourage him to rejoice. I can't imagine, do you remember that you rejoiced while you were in the womb of your mother? Nobody remembers anything. But John, in fact, it was, he was blessed that Saint Mary entered, his eyes were focusing on the incarnate Logos, even before he was formed as a man in truth and perfection, before he was born. But he received, I think, the first person after Saint Mary who received this gift of joy. Saint Mary acknowledged this gift when she said, even to the angel of God, that she is blessed and all the generations will bless her. Then she discovered, when she received the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, when she accepted to the Logos, to the Holy Spirit, work in her, and the Logos would be incarnated in her, she became full of joy. The second person, I think, John the Baptist, who leads people, who dances, and it is said, full of joy, and he was full of joy while he was in the womb of his mother. This is in fact a reaction of the inner joy or the inner glory. David the king And Psalm 45 or 44 in the Scripture, he spoke about the daughter of the king, Bathsheba, and he said that his glory is within. The Lord came from his word for what? He wants every one of us, instead of focusing outside our eyes, outside, we have to focus our sight within ourselves. He said to his disciples, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is within you. And many times he assured that he wants to abide in us and we abide in him. Then he came from heaven to create or establish a second heaven within ourselves, so that we may focus all our sight on the heaven which is within us. Outside is changeable. If you fix yourself with what is changeable, even your joy will be changeable. Our inner man, as an icon of heaven, is not changeable, but all truly it will be in progress. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, our glory will be fixed forever, because we are united with God, and we are, in fact, not only very close to Christ, but we became one in Him. One of the great leaders, he was from Germany. He was very great and almost victorious. And suddenly, he was in the hands of the enemy. And they captured him, and they wanted to give him a living. They brought him into a cell to be alone, and its door was very small, so that on his entrance he had to bow, a kind of humbleness, so that he feels that he lost his honor and dignity. He bowed, and while he was bound and entering the cell, he started to smile. The enemies, the captains of the enemies who surround him, were astonished. They said to him, "Why you are smiling? And you now in the hands of your enemies, and you are entering in a cell in a very humble way." He said, "I am smiling because I know time looks like a wheel. When I am fixed in above, the wheel will turn, I will be down, and now you are above, tomorrow I will be above, you will be down, and time will in fact play with all of us. Therefore I am smiling because time is not unchangeable, and we fix our life with time." This is the reality. When we fix our hope, when we fix our happiness, when we fix our joy in the wheel of time, the time will play with you as if you are a ball and he is playing with you. If your hope, if your energy, as to your inner man, all these are fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is unchangeable. Then you will not lose your joy, but you will attain it, and you will practice it eternally, unceasingly, forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. God created man to be joyful too. He created Adam and Eve not to be in grief. You can discover that till today when you go to any primary school and a college, you will find the difference. When you go to high school or to college, you will find almost the appearance of anger, grief. Everyone is afraid of the future. When you go to the daycare or primary school, you find all of them are rejoicing. God created man so that all of us rejoice in Him. But because we give our best to God and we fix our eyes on the happiness of this world, therefore we lose the energy. Joy is a gift from God. God the Father himself, it is His pleasure and His Son, the only begotten Son. This is what He said when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized. He asked us to hear Him, obey Him, because He is pleased with Him. He is His beloved and only begotten Son. When I am fixed with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I became, in fact, through baptism and through the receiving the communion and through the practical life in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is said to the Lord is said to me. But I am not the only begotten Son. I am adopted to the Father through my unity with the Lord and being a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the pleasure of God the Father that you became a member of His beloved only begotten Son. If it is His pleasure, surely it is your pleasure also to be a special child of God. Every person, even the elder, wants to see someone who is interested in him. Every person, even the criminal, it is inside us, it is in our nature. When you meet a person and you greet him with his name, you feel how he is happy that you remember his name. I remember, although I always forget the names of many, but I remember I had a friend, and after 18 years, while I was very young, when I was a student, and after 18 years, I met him, and suddenly I remembered his name. When I greeted him with his name mentioned, he was astonished. Do you remember me after 18 years? I said, yes, I never forsake you, and so on. It is the pleasure of every one of us that someone is interested in us, and He knows us, and He calls us by our name. In the book of Isaiah, God the Father said that He calls us by our name. And then it is our pleasure, it is a mutual pleasure, mutual love, mutual joy. I am, in fact, the subject of the joy of the Father. He is interested in me. When I say our Father who art in heaven, if truly you are praying it spiritually, you can feel how the gates of heaven are open, how God is embracing you and saying to you, welcome. I am in fact waiting for your coming. Your home, your place is in my bosom. I leave you in this world just until you are or you become prepared to receive the heavenly glory and to share my begotten Son, His glory. You can't imagine how God the Father in fact rejoices in us. We are His pleasure. He is not in need of us. He is a source of joy, but through love, He rejoices when we return to His bosom. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 15 about the son who left his father, on his return, he found his father was running towards him, and he embraced him, and he took him to his home and made a great feast. It was a feast of joy. He brought many musicians, and they were singing songs because his son was dead, and now he became alive. He had strayed away, and now he returned at home, and so on. Sometimes we look to God as a judge. He is a justice. He is a just judge. He will condemn us on every single word. He doesn't share us our feelings. He doesn't know our weakness. And we want just to pass this word, and in the end, He will be with the faith. It is not the correct, it is image, it is not the reality. The reality, God is love. He is interested in me personally. He is waiting for my coming. He is speaking of me among His heavenly hosts. And we can't imagine how the wedding separation on the last day between the heavenly groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride, all the believers, and all the heavenly hosts, as the friends of the groom, were rejoiced, and the Father Himself also were rejoiced on our arrival and on our glorification. It is the gift of God the Father, and it is also a gift of the Son. Perhaps you say, as many in many meetings here, I receive many questions. Can you imagine a person who is always rejoicing, and there are sometimes some bad circumstances or events which make the person upset or in grief? What more better or يعني full of story more than what happened to the three young people when they were in captivity. And they were thrown in the furnace. And the furnace was prepared specially for them. Even the soldiers who threw them in the fire, they were burned or killed, even from the flame or the heat of the flame. If you make a comparison between the soldiers who are from outside, just through the three young people, and between the three young people, who is more joyful? There is no comparison. They lost their life, they practice in your life. They buried in graves, they were walking as they were in a garden. Their bodies were corrupted, the other, even the clothes of their bodies having the smelling of fire or smoke. What is the source of their joy? The emperor said, oh, how many persons you threw in the furnace? They said, three. He said, no, I see a fourth one who is very glorious. He looks like son of one of the sons of God. And he asked them to go out. I think through obedience, they left the furnace. And they said, oh, we hope that he wouldn't ask us to leave, because it is, in fact, a unique moment that we are walking with the Lord, with God the Lord, even in the fire. In the monastery of Buwais in Upper Egypt, the Coptic iconographer, or the who made the icon, he depicts the three young people and they were dancing, and the Lord Jesus Christ embraced them by his hand. They were in a party, like St. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was in the darkness of the womb of his mother, but he was shining by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, even before he was born. The three young people were in the fire, but instead they were in place and they were dancing in the fire as if they were in heaven, because the King of Heaven was with them. Then, as the Lord Jesus Christ accompanied you, not only from outside and you put your hand in his hand, but you receive him within you, surely you will rejoice regardless of all the circumstances. When we make a comparison between the leader of the Jews, the high priest, the Pharisees, and so on, who put the disciples in the jail, who was more joyful? From outside, they started to rejoice. They want to get rid of those disciples. That the disciples found themselves in the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the jail, they were instead in heaven itself. I remember in the event of at the time of Gamal of Anwar Sadat, when we were in the jail and we were together in the hall, one of the laymen said these words: "If I collect the time of all the time when I was laughing or rejoicing all my life, it will not be compared just with a couple of days when I was in the jail, when we were together." And I remember once she said, I feel I will be sick because of much of laughing in the jail, in the hall of the jail. When we are in the Lord, nothing can prevent us from rejoicing. Therefore, we have to ask God, truly, sometimes we are in grief because of some of our friends stray away from the Lord. Or sometimes we are in grief when we share somebody who is in grief. We can ignore that. But inside, we have glory. And we have inner joy. And nothing can destroy our joy, which we receive from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said, God the Father is the source of joy. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is our joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, in fact, one of these fruits is joy, as in Galatians chapter 5. Verse, I think, 23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is for us love, joy. And when I speak about love and about joy, there is no separation between them. I remember, I don't remember the name, but one of the fathers of the church said that the Christian or the believer enjoys the joy of heaven when he or she loves and suffer of the hell when he or she hates. I think Saint Michael the Great said, "We receive the reward here from the virtue itself, and the reward itself from the vices. When I have love, I am rejoicing. I attain the flesh of heaven. When I hate, whatever the cause, I am suffering hell itself within myself." The fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits is joy, which is inseparable from love. Therefore, we have practically to practice the joy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, Who loves me, obey my commandments. And who obeys my commandments, I and the Father will come and will make a house within him. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant all of us to enjoy the joy of the Holy Trinity, the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God.